You know, today we are continuing on in Romans. We're going to be in Romans 15 today. And we're actually almost to the end of our Romans series. And today we're going to talk a little bit, a lot about hope. We're going to talk a lot about hope today. And I don't know where your hope is this morning. I don't know if you may have came here this morning and you're not feeling a lot of hope right now in your life. There may be a whole lot of things going on in your life right now that's not giving you much reason to have hope. Or maybe you have things are going great and you have a lot of hope right now. I don't know where you are, but maybe right now this morning you came and it's not really good right now. Maybe you're not even sure why you came to church this morning, but because you figure, what's the point, right? But you're going to come anyway and you're here, but in your life nothing's changing. Things may be kind of bad, maybe even kind of rough. And then you feel like, well, maybe that's just how it is. That's how it's always going to be. And so you have no hope. Maybe you've had your hope in the past, but you had hope in things that let you down. Right? And it let you down. So now you're struggling with trying to have hope in something else. Where is your hope this morning? Maybe you've lost hope. Maybe you're afraid to put your hope in anything because you're fearful of being disappointed. Well, today in our chapter, we're going to find some encouraging things about that can give us hope and help us live in hope. Because, guys, hope is absolutely essential for life and for living. It just is. It's essential. Living with hope can truly change things as you go forward in your life. Let me tell you a little bit of a story about a guy named Eugene Lang. Now, Eugene Lang was a self-made millionaire. And when he was in college, he had received some help to go to college. He got a scholarship from somebody, gave him a scholarship so he could go to college. And he wanted to be able to, after he'd gotten through college and became this millionaire, he wanted to be able to help those who were like him, right? Coming from some underprivileged backgrounds where he came from. And so when he was giving a commencement speech to those graduating sixth grade at PS 121 in East Harlem, he was giving this speech to these kids, the same school he had graduated from in sixth grade, right? He promised the 62 graduates of this sixth grade class that he would help finance the higher education of any of them in the group who stayed in school, finished high school, and wanted to continue on to college. Now, at the time, the high school that they were moving into, the middle school and high school they were going into, that they would be attending, they had a dropout rate of 60%. And only an average of two students from each graduating class would go on to college, about 3%. That was in 1981, okay? He set up this program and this dream program for these kids. By 1985, when these kids now, who were sixth graders, were now all sophomores, all 62 were still in school. It was unheard of at this time in the school district. And it turned out that 90% of them graduated high school, 70% versus the 3% before, went on to college, with almost half of those actually completing a degree. Right now, you look at that situation, and what explains the change? Well, the kids now had hope for a future. Right? They had a hope that something was going to be different in their life. Before, it seemed like they had no hope at all. Right? They could graduate high school, maybe, but then what would they do? Go back to the streets? Right? Go to dealing, to drugs? I mean, that's what was expected of them. Before, they did not experience any hope that things could be different. But now, they had hope, and that hope helped them to live a better life in the present in hopes of an even better life in the future. Hope changed everything. And again, sometimes it's tough to have hope. There are so many things in this world today that are seeking to rob us of our hope. I mean, there's an economy that just continues to sputter, right, and give us frustrations if you have a job or not a job, wherever you're at, right? Maybe it's a relationship that you have that's very difficult, which kind of takes away that hope. Maybe it's an illness or a continued illness of yourself or a loved one. Maybe it's struggling through some difficult, you know, even more difficult financial situations. And guys, here's the thing. Satan will always do everything he can to use the poor circumstances in our lives, the struggles in our lives, to try to rob us of our hope. And if all that is true, then how do we live in hope? How do we even try to live in hope? Even when we're facing struggles in life, how do we live in hope? How do we live in hope when we don't have a Eugene Lang in our lives, right, to do all those things for us? Well, guys, we have something better than a self-made millionaire Eugene Lang. We have Jesus Christ, right? That's what we have in our lives. And he has offered us hope, not just for a college education, but for eternity. He's offered us hope. Let me read you a verse out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." Now, but that's awesome. That promise right there, that he has given us a living hope, a hope we can have right now through everything because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. We can have that hope. And the most famous verse probably in the Bible, of course, is John 3:16. And if you can't find hope in that verse, right? Because it says, what? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Well, that's the hope we have right there. We have eternal life, not based on what we do, but solely based on our belief in and receiving of Jesus Christ. That's what our hope is based in. But that's all good and true, and it's great to talk about here on a Sunday morning while you're sitting in church. But how do we live in this hope when our circumstances get bad or get rough or get overwhelming? Well, you can't do it by yourself. Eugene Lang found that even though he had this great idea and he promised these kids this college education, and that was going to be helpful and provided hope, but he also knew that they needed hope right then, not just for the future, but right then. So he put into place a few other things to help this group of 62 students out. According to the information that I got to study on this website about this foundation, he said he got to know these kids as his dreamers. He called them his dreamers. And he realized they needed more help than he could give all of them on his own. So he hired a full-time program coordinator, a guy named Johnny Riviera, and he enlisted the support of local community-based organizations to provide services, to support them through high school graduation all the way. At the same time, he personally maintained a close personal relationship with all of these dreamers. Right? I don't know if Eugene knew this or not, but he was taking a play right out of the Bible handbook on how to give hope to somebody. He gave them support to help that he needed to continue living that hope. And guys, while Jesus Christ has provided us with the hope of eternity, right, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we have that hope. He's also provided us with support right now in our lives today that we can help, that we can endure these struggles of life, whatever they may be. And what is that support that he's given us to help today? Well, we're going to look at some of this in Romans 15. And as we're wrapping up our series in the book of Romans, we're going to see today in Paul's writing of Romans 15, he's writing to the church in Rome again. We've been studying this now for weeks and last couple months. And he's encouraging this church in Rome amid some struggles that they're having. See, relationally, they're having some struggles within the church, because this church is reaching more and more and more people all the time, and they're coming from so many different backgrounds, there's so many different cultures, and so many different spiritual walks, and there's some struggles going on, because the large portion of this beginning of this church was from a Jewish sect of people, right? There are a certain Jewish population, but now all these Gentiles were coming in, muddy in the waters, so to speak, and they're struggling with the way things are being done, because they want to do things one way. Jews want to do things one way, and they're having some struggles because there's so many different things going on. So relationally, the church is struggling. And they're so focused on the problems that was going on that they were not experiencing their hope anymore of what Jesus had just done for them just not all that long ago. So in these verses we're going to read this morning, Paul writes to these Christians, to encourage these Christians, these new believers in Rome, who are discouraged by some of these changes. He's writing them that even though they have the hope for eternity, which they all have, he wants to also remind them of some simple things, some things that they have to help them live in hope right now in the present. So the first one is this, in your notes, we want to talk about how God helps us to live in hope through his word. Okay? He helps us to live in hope through his word. That's what the scripture is there for, right? You jump into verse 4 of Romans 15 right here. It says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." So Paul says, look, go back to the Scriptures. If you want to find hope and encouragement, go back to the Scriptures. He says it's through reading God's Word that we see and are taught about how God has been faithful to His people, even amid difficult situations, difficult circumstances. He says it's through reading His Word that our circumstances, today even, right? Through reading His Word, they don't necessarily change the situation, the circumstances, but it will give us strength and encouragement to go through whatever it is we're going through, to have hope that we can get through these things. You don't have to turn there, but earlier, we studied this several weeks ago in Romans chapter 5, he writes to these people again, verses 2 through 5, it says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He goes back and he wants to remind them and remind us that we can have hope even when things are tough. And we can receive encouragement from His Word. We're given strength from His Word, right? To stand and persevere during our struggles, during our sufferings, during our hard times. In fact, He says not just to have hope, to rejoice when those things are happening. All because we can do it through His Word. Through His Word, we're reminded of His promises that should give us hope. The promises He gives us. We can be encouraged to live in hope in our sufferings and our troubles, but to find hope in His Word, you have to be in His Word. There's the struggle that most of us probably have, right? Because you have to actually be in His Word to find this encouragement, find this hope. How many of you guys have ever set a goal, a plan in place where, man, I'm going to read my Bible every day, whether it's 5 minutes, five chapters, I'm going to do it, and then you failed in that process? Anybody? Okay. Me too. And I love to read, but yet, oh, it's so easy to get distracted and busy. And guys, if we want to be encouraged through His Word and to have hope, we have to be in it. We have to be in it, not just talk about it, right? But to actually be in it, not just to be in it on a Sunday morning or in a Bible study, but to be in it every day. That's what we need. See, the world teaches us, this world around us teaches us that we don't need God or His Word, right? Let's just be honest. They teach we don't need that to be happy, to be successful. Instead, just grow in wisdom, grow in knowledge, right? Grow in the brain power. That's all you really need, and that will give you hope. And you know what? It always amazes me how a believer in Christ and a non-believer in Christ can look at a situation, the exact same situation, right, and be so divided in how that situation is interpreted. Example, okay? If I look at an x-ray of a fetus, man, that's a baby to me, right? And someone who's not a believer, that's a blob to them. I don't understand that. How I can look at the same thing they're looking at, and I see something completely different than they are. And that's just there's so many things like that. Because to them, it's all about the knowledge and the wisdom, and you can't find a lot of hope in that. See, guys, there are going to be people in this world who reject God, and they may claim to be smart in their own eyes, right? And they reject God because they're smart in their own eyes, and they can rely on their own abilities to interpret things apart from God. And they may even think that those who believe in God are a little bit foolish to believe in this thing you can't see, touch, hear, right? But it is really their hearts that have been darkened, right? It's their thinking which has become futile because of their rejection of God. You go back to Romans, first chapter. We talked about the very first week of the series. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." Right? I mean, guys, we can find hope and encouragement by God's Word, but we have to be in His Word. We have to be in it. He helps us to live in hope through His Word. But secondly, He also helps us to live in hope through His church. Right? Through His church. You get to Romans 15 again, you jump down to verse 5. It says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praise of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with this people. And again, praise the Lord all you Gentiles, that all the peoples extol him. Look, Paul was he knew he was the prophet to the Gentiles. He knew that was his biggest concern and calling in life, was to bring the Gentiles into this relationship with Jesus Christ. So he talks a lot about that. And he talks, though, to the Jewish people about having unity between the Gentiles and the Jewish people, of accepting one another. And again, realize they're struggling right now in the church, right? They're having some issues with trying to get along with one another. He says you should have unity with one another, accept one another. And when we do that in the church, whether it's within this body or with our body having unity with another church body or whatever it is, right? When we do this as a church, we show that we love one another and that we accept people who they are, who as they are, even if they're different than us, as we praise God together for his mercy, for his love, well, then we build relationships with one another. And those relationships can help us stay focused, to be encouraged, and have hope. One of the reasons we want to do this FOR together is so we can all come together as a church and find that encouragement in those relationships, as it's not just us and them and them. And no, we want to come together. See, the Jewish Christians in this church were struggling with those Gentile Christians, right? We knew they didn't really necessarily like one another. Didn't think of the Jewish people didn't think very highly of the Gentiles. And they were struggling with them being a part of their church. And so they're starting to ask questions. Well, if they're going to be a part of our church, do they need to do the same things we've done to be a part? Do they have to be circumcised, right? Do they have to have that done? Do they have to adhere to all these dietary laws that we adhere to? They started going back to all those things that they had learned that was the law, again, versus the grace that we've been talking about. And if they didn't do all these things, could they really be part of this community of faith? See, all of these differences could have destroyed that church, which is why Paul was stepping in. And it could have destroyed the building up of the believers in hope. And that's the same thing that can happen to us. If we're not here to encourage one another and love one another and have a relationship with one another, if we're here to come in and we want to bicker about something or how one person looks or someone's dress or somebody, that's not going to have hope at all. But see, Paul's telling these Jewish Christians that God has always declared that the Gentiles were going to be a part. He's trying to remind them, hey, let me read you this. And some of those things he's quoting are from the Old Testament, right? And Paul quotes from the historical books of the law and the writings and the prophets to make his point to the Jewish Christians that God's plan was to always include them together, to come together in this relationship. So how does that apply to us today, though? Well, God's desire, again, guys, is that all people come to the knowledge and the truth and repentance through Jesus Christ. That's his desire. Even people who aren't like us, right? The church is made up of all kinds of different people. And we need to accept everyone into our community of faith. Even all the differences and tie them all into unity. I guarantee if we all sat down, we would find a whole lot of things that we're not similar in, right? A lot of differences between our backgrounds and our likes and dislikes and all the things that we have. God says we're all to come together, even if we're different. Now, it doesn't mean we're to condone sin, right? It's okay. We know there are people who come in here that maybe they're still living in sin. We're all living in sin one way or the other, right? We know that. None of us are perfect in here. But the idea is not to condone their sin, but the idea is then to have a clear understanding between us what sin is and what is a preference. We talked a lot about that last week, what's a preference versus what's actually a sin, right? And then what brings glory to God and what doesn't bring glory to God. And it means that all of us who are a little bit more mature in our faith, who are a little bit better at this unity and love thing in our faith, we are to then walk alongside those who are not as mature, maybe not even in a relationship with Christ yet, recognizing that we also are sinners with them, right? We're still sinners saved by grace, and then grow in unity together. See, church is not about us. It's not about others. Who's it about? It's about God. That's who it's about. That's the bottom line. See, so often we come to church looking for what we want to get out of church, right, in regards to the teaching, the worship, whatever it is. What can I get out of this morning? And guys, church isn't, It's about us worshiping and glorifying God. That's what it's about. It just so happens that as we do that, God is going to be continually working on us and changing us and growing us and maturing us and others as well. So don't let the differences in people, the different places that they are in their journey with Christ, right? We talked about that last week. Right? Don't let that be the cause for not being a part of a fellowship of the church or coming to Bible studies or doing some things with one another. Because one of the ways God helps strengthen you and continue to give you hope in your life to keep you strong when things are tough is to have fellowship with one another, to have friendship with one another. In fact, the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 25, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching." Right? The closer we get to the fact that we see the end of times and God coming back, we're going to meet more with one another and love each other more and encourage one another. That's what it is. God helps us through his word for hope. He helps us through his church to remind us that the hope that we have. But we must remember that our hope is only really found in one thing. And that's number three. God gives us hope through his son. Right? Through Jesus Christ. Through his son. That's where we actually ultimately find our hope. And in Romans 15, verse 12, in our chapter, again, it says, "And again, Isaiah says," again, Paul's quoting the Old Testament, "the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations, in him the Gentiles will hope." He's saying, Isaiah was prophesying that Jesus was going to come in the future. Paul is referencing that, saying, okay, Jesus has now come. He's the Messiah. Now we all can have hope. Our hope, our only hope, is through Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul tells Titus in his letter to him a little bit later in the book of Titus, he says, and I'm reading this out of the Living Bible, says, "For the free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered to everyone. And along with this gift comes the realization that God wants us to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures and to live good, God-fearing lives day after day, looking forward to that wonderful time that we've been expecting, when his glory shall be seen, the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died under God's judgment against our sins so that he could rescue us from constant falling into sin and make us his very own people, with cleansed hearts and real enthusiasm for doing kind things for others." It's all through Jesus Christ. See, while our blessed hope for eternity is in the future for all of us, right? We can live in that hope today, and it can affect how we live our lives today and every day, how we experience life today and every day because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. See, that hope we have for the future, that hope that we live in, is solely because of Christ and his payment for our sins through his death on that cross and that resurrection. In Christ alone, our hope is found, right? But even though our hope is found only in Christ, number four, God gives us overflowing hope through his Spirit. Through his Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Right? We've talked about all three of them today. In verse 13 of Romans 15, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." See, guys, it's through the Holy Spirit living in us, right? Which those who trust in Jesus have. If you've accepted Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit lives in us. That is hope. Our hope can't just help us endure, but it can overflow from our lives, and we can thrive with that overflowing hope, right? And some may ask, well, if it's overflowing, right, isn't that just a waste of hope, right? Because it's overflowing. Is that a waste of hope? I mean, if we overflow our gas tank, right, we overflow our cup, right, then we've wasted stuff as it's flowing out and making a mess of everything. And we've all had experiences like that. Isn't that a waste? And no, it's not in this case. Guys, as the Holy Spirit fills you with hope, as you grow in faith through the Word, through the fellowship of the church, through having our eyes fixed on Christ, all those things we just talked about, that salvation that you have because of that death, burial, and resurrection, that inheritance we now get because we're sons and daughters of God, right? That hope should fill us so much that it spills onto others. Right? It spills onto others. So a quick story. So several years ago, when Abby was learning to drive, she's now 21, and so she's like 15 years old, we were traveling back and forth between here and the western slope of Colorado. And we had stopped in Buena Vista to get gas. Well, I was trying to help teach Abby all the things you need to learn to be a driver, right? Which is one of the most important things is put gas in your car, right? It's an important one. So we were in my Suburban. We jumped out. We were going to the store. I said, Abby, put $40 of gas in, okay? So there you go. She gets your practice. She gets to go out. She puts it in there. Well, we all do our thing. Well, it's a few minutes later, and we realize that she hasn't necessarily overflowed the tank, but it got to 40 on the gauge. She read it. She's never done gas before. So what does she do? I had clicked it, right? We all do. We put the gas on. We click the thing so we can just stand there and watch it. Well, she just pulled the thing right out, right? Didn't know to click so the gas would stop. So we had gas overflow flying everywhere until we get it turned off. So she had gas all over her clothes, right? And so we had clothes. We've been traveling. So she got in to change clothes, but we still had to carry. We may even try to put the clothes on top. I don't even remember. But it was bad. She smelled like gas. The Suburban smelled like gas. We all smelled like gas for the rest of the way home. It was horrible, right? Our skin, her skin, her hair, everything smelled like gas. She's never done that again, though, right? She learned the hard way. It was great. And we've done that. And guys, I'm telling you, as we interact with other people, our faith, this hope that we should have and should be just overflowing in us, it should flow on to other people. Other people should be affected because of the hope and the encouragement and the love that we have through Jesus Christ. Everybody should be smelling like the Holy Spirit around us if they're hanging out with us, right? Because it's overflowed onto them as well. Man, they should smell like God. And I'm telling you guys, as we endure, as we persevere through difficult circumstances with the hope of glory, the hope of Jesus Christ, people are going to see that in our lives. They're going to want that. They're going to understand, how can you deal with that situation when there's no way I could? Well, because we have a hope that they need. That's hope is essential to life. It's essential to living. Guys, if you have great circumstances in life but no hope, I'm telling you, you won't really be living. Live in the hope that Christ gives us and overflow in that hope through the power of the Holy Spirit to see others come to trust in Jesus Christ through God's work and through you and what God's doing in you. And when you're living in that hope and it's being used to lead others to that hope in Christ, it will continue to overflow in you and strengthen you and strengthen those around you. And even though there's going to be trials and struggles and sufferings in our life, we can continue to live in hope as it's overflowing in our lives. Guys, the question is, do you have hope today? Right? Are you in a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning? Right? Because that's where we find our hope. If you've never accepted Christ into your life this morning, you don't have the hope that I've been talking about all morning. The hope that Paul was writing about that can give you the strength to get through whatever he's doing on your life. If you've never accepted him into your life, I pray that you would do that this morning, that you would talk to me or one of our leaders. We'd love to show you about that, how you can have that hope. Have you trusted in him? If not, do it. If you have trusted in him and you're not experiencing that hope that he gives, then maybe you're not taking advantage of the things that he has given you to live in that hope. Maybe you're not in his word the way you should be in his word. Maybe you're not connecting to others in the church the way you should be connecting to others in the church, through small groups, through Bible studies, through serving. And as God continues to pour out the hope in you, you should be sharing that experience with others, and that overflowing hope will change the way you see life, change the way you live life. Let me pray for us this morning. God, I love you this morning. Thank you for this chapter. Thank you for this series we've been in, but God, thank you for really the encouragement of hope this morning. Where I know that there has been times in my life where I've not really taken full advantage of the hope that you promised me. I've allowed circumstances, and I've allowed situations, and I've allowed relationships, and I've allowed finances, and all the things of the world that can wear me down to wear me down, and to suck the hope out of my life. God, I pray that this morning we as a church, that we as a people of faith in here today would be able to start really living in hope, and that people could look at us and say, man, those guys are different. Right? They're different because we can find hope in your word. God, I pray that we all would do better getting in your word. We all confess that we struggle with that. So God, I pray that we would get into your word more tomorrow than we did today. If it's just two verses tomorrow because we didn't do anything today, whatever that looks like, to be more in your word. God, to really connect with one another in our church. Not just to show up on Sunday morning and go home, but to find ways to connect through Bible studies and through small groups and through spending time together outside of church, God, through serving within our church. All the ways we can have to connect, God, I pray that we would do that in our lives, that we would really seek out, God, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to the point where we are overflowing so much with the joy and happiness, even though life may be tough, that people will look at that and say, I want what you have. I mean, show me somehow I can get some of that hope, God. So, God, I pray that we would just walk out of here again, as I pray every week, that we'd leave different than we came in. So easy to just come in and go out every week and never change. Never change anything about who we are, how we're doing our lives, nothing. God, I pray you would really affect each one of us as we leave this place, that we'd be more connected to you, connected to others, so that people will come into relationship, this life-changing relationship with you. So God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this challenge. God, again, if there's one here that's never accepted you, I pray that they would talk to someone this morning, talk to myself, so we can show them how they can have this hope. We give all these things to you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.